to rezone some land around the existing Glendene homestead further north from the Cameron Grant for a rural lifestyle zone. So I'll ask Mr. Espy just to take you through his appendices and his executive summary in this bit. White to confirm the balance of his summary.
Thank you. I think I can be pretty quick on this because it's a bit simpler. If we go to my appendix one, that is a plan that was part of the submission. So that's the outline of the rural lifestyle zone with its no build area. Ms. Millsock and her evidence agreed that the rural lifestyle zone was generally appropriate, but she felt there needed to be more no build area. And after looking at it, my evidence, appendix 3, shows an extended no build area along the front part of the zone area that slopes down towards the lake. So that's appendix 3 is attached to my evidence and was the expanded no build area. Then we have Ms. Millsock's rebuttal, where she agreed that it was useful but wanted that southern bit made bigger, the southern bit of no build area. My opinion on it is that the part that's shown in my appendix 3 is the most sensitive part. It's the part that is most visible from the lake and also from the other side of the lake, but at a much longer distance, obviously. So the real issue we're talking about with these no build areas is views from the lake. The parts that are hatched red there are the parts that with the most gradient on them that slope down towards the lake. In front of those parts, of course, there's public land anyway that's going to be out of the zone. And that public land is the most prominent from the lake, but that's out of the zone. So I'm comfortable that the no build areas shown in my appendix 3 are appropriate. After all, the entire area of zoning provides for a maximum of 6 dwellings. So it's not as if the setback is going to be a setback of some with a sort of a wall of development beginning at the end of the setback or something. We're talking about 6 dwellings over the zone area. The no build areas as drawn there will mean that no buildings will be within those hatched areas. They'll be outside of those hatched areas. So realistically, you know, we may well have 3 dwellings in the southern part of the zone there, the more open part, and 3 dwellings in the northern part. I can't see that expanding that no build area any more really serve any purpose as far as visual effects go. So that's where I wound up.
The question for me, Mr. Espy, is that in terms of the lie of the land, when we were wandering over the land, faithfully escorted, I must say, by Mr. Burton's dog.
Not the Jack Russell. Both initially.
We wondered if they had a microphone. Where is the... we saw that hillside that slopes down that Ms. Millsock and you have identified. Where's the top of the hillside in terms of the contour?
The hillside?
I can recall that we went through through some trees and you could see the grassed area going over and down towards the lake. So the question is, where is the top of that rise?
Well,
in terms of on the ground in relation to the BRA that you've identified.
And so you're talking about looking at my appendix 3 in the sort of southern half there.
Correct.
Well, the open area that you can see is the open paddock land, and it rolls down to the lake, and so it's sort of a convex roller, if you like. Exactly where the top of it is sort of academic, but I imagine the part you're talking about is probably relatively, well, to the west of that red no build line that I've drawn there.
So,
by perhaps the same distance again.
I understand.
Yes, it's a sort of, it, almost in the middle of that paddock, but a bit towards the lake, I'd say.
And the other question I have for you, was you talk about that the area would likely be more treed over time. Is there a potential that it might be less treed as people seek to maximise their views of the lake?
Well, yes, I've said that in there somewhere. I mean, I certainly imagine that
4.8.
People will want to maximise views of the lake. And so they'll keep those aspects open. They won't plant large trees on that side of the dwellings. But what we generally see in rural lifestyle zones around the district as they mature is that people want privacy and they want shelter. And so so there's generally sort of curtilage tree planting or garden tree planting around the dwelling, and then the rest of the person's lot is used for some sort of open space use, but often has trees around the perimeter of it as well. So I'd imagine, in an overall sense, numbers of trees in this zone will increase and become more treed. But yes, people will want to preserve their views out to the lake, so I don't think we want to be relying on trees on that side of the houses.
Question for Mr. White to answer is whether his proposed zone provisions deliver that.
Well, I would say, you know, as an add-on to that, I suppose, my practice deals quite a lot with people applying for activities in rural lifestyle zones and things like that, and it's always at least a controlled activity, and we always have to submit a landscape plan at the time of subdivision and one at the time of some building dwelling. So council certainly exercises its control in that regard, and they can stipulate, well, they don't stipulate, but they can, if they don't like the landscape plan, they give it back and so they can do some more, please.
All right. Mr. Hudson?
No, not
for
Mr.
Hudson.
I am Tiggity Bee.
Well, in that case, should we move to Mr. White?
Yes, thank you. You've got to be brief as well.
Brief is good. Yes.
My evidence for submission 348 is on page 6 of the summary of evidence. And this is brief enough to 4 paragraphs. Submission 348 for Brian Glendine on 6 to have 13 hectares in the area of the Glendine homestead zone from rural zone to rural lifestyle zone. Section put into a landscape assessment recommended that the proposed no-build area be extended south of the open slope adjacent to the area, and the recommendation has been accepted. It's considered that the objectives from the rural residential and rural lifestyle chapter, section 22 of the proposed district plan are appropriate to achieve sustainable management of natural resources in the submission area around the Glendine homestead. It will be efficient and effective in achieving strategic direction and landscape objectives of the proposed district plan. In this context, the risks of acting are not being considered. It's considered that there is limited uncertainty and sufficient information to make a decision on the submissions. As the rural lifestyle zoning is an existing operating district plan zoning, the risk associated with the zoning is very low. As a result of the above, it's thought that the submission be accepted and that the land in the submission area be zoned to rural lifestyle, late March in the submission area, to be protected by a building restriction area.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes, just more I think it's a clarification to get the relevant information on the record, Mr. White. If we were of the mind to accept the submission, rural lifestyle zoning at subdivision stage, if I understand correctly, does require the establishment of building platforms and the council exercises discretion over the location of those and any vegetation clearance, perhaps, or not?
I can check those. I'd be surprised if there's vegetation clearance protection rules except for indigenous vegetation.
Okay. Well, first of all, so building platforms are a matter for discretion. Now, in relation to dwellings, can you just confirm for me whether consent is required for dwellings once the subdivision has been consented?
I'm just having a look at the section 42A version of the rural lifestyle provisions. So the construction and exterior alteration of buildings located within a building platform. Permitted activity.
Okay, so what we're saying is building platforms will need consent, but the buildings within those platforms, there is no discretion exercised over design and appearance or anything like that.
Provide the compulsory design provisions, okay. And it's on the building platform.
In your opinion, is that an appropriate outcome on this site?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah. It's perhaps a crossover back to Mr. Espy's area of expertise, but in terms of views of future buildings from the lake, how would any effects be assessed if they were assessed as part of the assessment of the building platform?
The assessment for the building platform does include the visibility of any future buildings on it. In this district, what we would typically do is put up profile poles on the corners of the building platforms, even at subdivision stage, and this enables the assessing planner and landscape architect to consider the appropriateness of the location, of future buildings and their height. And it's normal for there to be conditions, typically recorded as a consent notice, that would cover height, location, colours, materials, reflectivity, and issues like that.
In terms of any future screening, could Mr. Espy say that people would obviously want to have views of the lake? Is there any method for requiring landscaping?
Those would be matters that would be assessed as part of the subdivision consent, and yes, there is ability there to control that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought
Mr. White
was looking for the reference.
I was looking, but I wasn't looking for reference now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, good, thanks. Question for you, Mr. White. Discussion of life supporting capacity of soils. What do you think that's an objective on the rural side? What's it?
I've always struggled a wee bit with that one. Does it talk about biota in the soil or what you can grow on top of it?
Well, I don't know the answer to that either. So I'm hoping for you to tell me. It's one of life's great little mysteries.
If I was to assess that, I would say it deals with the product capacity of the soil and also ecological effects associated with development.
And on this site, which is already devoted to the homestead, is it used in that productive sense? Is it part of the production capacity of Glendean Station currently?
It, certainly it is. Well, the bits of it that aren't the driveway or access are part of the farm, but a small part of the farm, a very small part of the farm.
And is it realistic to think that rural lifestyle landowners will do anything in terms of utilising the productive capacity of the soil?
The rural lifestyle areas of the district are mostly rural residential, but with a minimum lot size of 1 hectare and an average of 2, the sites are too big to mow, and so there is usually some form of low intensity hobby farming or hobby agriculture that is on the balance of the land.
I always thought it was one of the great objectives of owners of that sort of property to have a ride on. So your answer is small scale hobby farming, we shouldn't assume it's of no productive value whatsoever.
Correct.
Well, that was the only issue I found curious. So that was all I had. So Mr. Todd, those are any concluding remarks?
No concluding remarks, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that's a good answer. nothing from our team on that case.
Thank you very much for extended sitting to deal with this week.
We'll adjourn back at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.